Enterprise Management 360, your main source for tech news, analysis, podcasts, and videos for the enterprise.
Hello, and welcome to the EM360 podcast, where we have weekly conversation with people who are impacting the enterprise tech landscape. My name is Alejandro Leal. I am an analyst at Kuppinger Cole, and I've been covering cybersecurity and digital identity topics over the past few years. Today, Ari Katar, Senior Threat Intelligence Researcher at Radware, joins me to discuss how ChatGPT fuels automation manipulation. Welcome to the podcast, Ari.
Hello, Alejandro. Thank you for having me.
So, hackers are increasingly using AI tools to enhance operations that traditionally require a wide range of human skills, transforming their approach from isolated activities to sophisticated operations that resemble small businesses. These AI capabilities, particularly found in large language models such as ChatGPT, are also vulnerable to manipulation by coordinated bot activity. Let me open with a question, Arik. How do hackers infiltrate and attack GPT and similar technologies? And what measures can be taken to mitigate such threats?
That's a great question, Alejandro. I've been following for the last year and a half about how hackers are targeting LLM, large language models, services themselves. And it's quite interesting to see it. But before I start here, let me do a short introduction into what it is actually ChatGPT and the technology behind it so we can have a common language here. So basically, LLMs, large language models, just like GPT, are in their core statistical models, which means they are only predict the next word in a sentence based on the knowledge they were trained upon. And the last sentence is basically the key one. The structure is basically causing a lot of hallucinations, which is practically incorrect information. When GPT started off, we've seen a lot of answers like George Washington was a rock and roll lead singer or this kind of misinformation that the internet mocked about. And now we are seeing hackers are picking it up, the same structure. It means that basically, in order to avoid mistakes, ChatGPT heavily relies on the feedback of its users. The feedback can be even like the upvote or downvote. It asks you to vote on its answers, or it can be the chat history itself. It's used for training those models as well. So whenever you correct the inaccuracy in ChatGPT, it learns from your feedback and changes the knowledge base. Now let's put it on the hacker's perspective. Imagine that you have a pizza place that is called Alejandro Pizza. And it's a new one in New Jersey, and you haven't got the quiet results you wanted from Google Ads. So your friend is telling you he knows a good underground service in Telegram that will promote your pizza, your pizzeria in ChatGPT. So you give it a shot and pay them to increase your brand visibility. What you don't know is this underground SEO service is operating 30,000 bots sessions on ChatGPT. And what it does basically is creating new sessions from breach accounts or new generated accounts of ChatGPT. And all of a sudden, in 1 hour, GPT is asked from 30,000 different users, which is practically bots, what is the best pizza in New Jersey? And whatever it answers, the users are correcting him. That's not true. It's well-known truth that the best pizza in New Jersey is Alejandro Pizzeria. And therefore, you have 30,000 users, which are actually bots, that manipulate the knowledge base of ChatGPT. ChatGPT sees it from 30,000 users and says, okay, I might be wrong. Let's correct it. So the next one that will ask this question will get Alejandro Pizza and not the other answers out there. So this is the new evolution of SEO services. Instead of search engine optimization, people will look on ChatGPT. So those hackers that are operating these illegal SEO services on ChatGPT, which already exist, I've seen two of them in darknet marketplaces, they are operating a lot of bots and they are manipulating it in order to create this kind of promotion, paid promotion. So this is one stuff. And the other part of the question, how to mitigate it, it's coming up to the golden question of the AppSec industry. Is this session is a bot or human? So in those LLMs, services will need a powerful solution just like RedWord that knows to, in real time, to predict and to say, we have many identifiers that indicate that this is a bot or a human. At the end of it, it must be it coming up to this really crucial question in order to understand if you need to learn from its input or ignore it.
Okay. Alejandro's pizza sounds like a good place. And that leads me to the next question. Do you think that in your research, do you see the adoption of these tools, they're being used by, let's say, existing hackers? Or do you see also maybe people like me that maybe have no prior experience to, let's say, hacking? I guess what I'm trying to say is, how has the hacker revolution evolved from basic scripting to acquiring advanced skills within a short period of time? And what factors contribute to this rapid skill development?
So the hacker evolution used to be, on average, when I started doing threat research in 2016, it used to be something between 1 to 2 years at least. And that means that in the beginning, you have someone that is interested in hacking, and the end of it, you have a hacker that sells a hacking tool in the underground marketplaces. So this period have been minimized to something like 6 to 8 months now. And the reason is that LLMs goes directly into the most challenging problems that hackers have. The first one is how to script. Most of the hackers out there are operating tools that other hackers have already wrote because they know scripting and the users doesn't. Now this is already changed. This is the first time that hackers have a go-to person. Usually hackers work by themselves. They don't have a team like you have on startups or someone to go to. So practically, and another fact that we need to calculate here is that for years, just like startups, hackers have been collecting data, mainly tutorials, PDF, deeply technical ones that requires a lot of time and human resources, and breach information. And now they can integrate it all together. So basically, I will divide my answer. It's basically, first, they can script with those tools and they can feed them with tutorials that are deeply technical. So they won't be relying only on what the LLM model has been trained on. So it's not just Stack Overflow, it's security researchers' white papers that can be brought and uploaded to those LLMs. And if you combine it with personal information or breach, you can create a sophisticated code that can deliberately go and find vulnerabilities and identify weak points in code or security problems way before any human will do. So this is a practically game changer. On the one hand, you have technical assistant that helps them go to the next level of writing their own code. This is, in the matter of the hacker's perspective, this is equal to independence. You don't need to pay to other one to do that. And on the other aspect, you have those large database that every hacker has accumulated over the years, and now they can turn it into effective social engineering letters, effective code that it targets specific vendors or something that is way beyond it. The power is in combining two large databases that are not necessarily looks like they are connected to each other, but when they do, they create a powerful attack.
Wow, that's incredible. I think that's something that is often overlooked in the industry, that some of these hackers already have their own business model and it's very sophisticated. In your research recently, any interesting use cases or any examples of surprising ways hackers use GPT to fulfill their operational needs? And what do you think are the implications this has in the industry?
Very interesting questions. We have, I've actually seen two cases in the last month that caught my eye. The first one was Account Cracker, a hacker that breached two accounts, mainly premium ones on streaming industry. And he sells those breach accounts for 10% of their value. Let's say the premium account costs $20. He sells it in $2. And this guy is using AI tools to generate TikTok short video, the ads, which means the voiceover, the video, everything. So it goes like, tired of buying accounts and spending your money on accounts. Here you can buy it on 10% of its price. Of course, the ad doesn't tell you it's breach accounts, but this is going pretty viral on TikTok generated many, many leads for him, many buyers that unknowingly are buying breach accounts. So this is a powerful proof to how hackers can generate their own marketing team, basically. It used to take marketing team to generate this type of videos, and now it happens in 5 minutes on the web, on sometimes even free website that provides you these short videos. I've been monitoring over 26 DDoS as a service tools developers, which means are powerful tools that can take out every website in just a few seconds. And four of these Russian DDoS as a service tools developers are using GPT for customer support in four languages, which means that they don't rely on Telegram native translative function. They can translate to Chinese, Arabic, English, whatever they want, and it will be a perfect translation. In the matter of customer support, that means that you can approach a large target audiences that you haven't been able to do so before that. And managing customer support, it takes a lot of time. If you do it with ChatGPT, it saves the most precious asset that every hacker has, which is time. So this is another aspect of it. And basically, the cybersecurity, it's a cat and mouse race, like everything that we've seen in cybersecurity. In order to comprehend with it, cybersecurity firms needs to adopt LLMs as well, because it will improve basically the way that they are doing it and their efficiency. So if the amount, like one hacker can generate, had a limit to the amount of damage he can generate, now he can scale up his operation, focusing on hacking skills instead of human skills.
Okay. You know, some of the research that we do at Kuppinger Call is on how to use generative AI for cybersecurity resilience. Mm-hmm. I think that's spot on. And, you know, we have probably listeners, hopefully not all of them are hackers, but we have listeners that are in different industries. And I'm wondering, how can GPT be used for non-hacking purposes, such as customer support or marketing or other industries? Any thoughts on that?
Yes. Those LLMs programmed to take up any role at the beginning of a prompt. So if you start a prompt by act as a marketing specialist that specializes in SEO in Google Ads, the more specific you are, the better. This is how the hackers are doing that. So they basically provide every session, GPT session, a different role. And one agent, one session is the continuous one in which they reply to others. To in customer support based. And the other one they can do in social engineering, they predict to be, they make the agent act like it is a CISO that is doing a test on social, like on phishing links. If you use this function, ChatGPT will even build phishing emails for you because it assumes that you are on the good side, not in the bad side. So manipulating it, it's pretty easy because you have the whole pen test war that is already out there and is legal. But using it for marketing and customer support are the biggest essence that hackers have, because most of the hackers already knows hacking. What they are finding it challenging is to do the human skills kind of related tasks, like customer support. And you can see it when you're following hacking tool, you can see the change in the language. They started off this tool with different type of phrasing to the customers, like read the TOS. If you don't agree, don't buy. Like this is the phrasing of a known DDoS as a service hacker. But 4 months after that, he adopted ChatGPT, and all of a sudden it's, dear customers, your attention is required. We are doing this and that and that. And all of a sudden, the whole sound of it, the tone of voice become much more corporate. So it's kind of ironic. We are living in a stage in 2024 in which hacker, like corporate try to think like hackers while hackers try to look like corporates. And this is really fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's fascinating, but I think at the same time, a bit scary. And especially the examples that you provided in the use cases you've been observing recently. I know it's hard to predict the future, but maybe you can provide us listeners some hope in what ways might future advancements in GPT and similar technologies can reshape cyber threats And at the same time, how can organizations tackle this issue and stay ahead of the hackers?
Yes. First of all, the creative ways in which LLMs are being exploited are constantly evolving. So the first of it will be staying up of the news. And if we are talking about the news, recently there has been a huge discussion about a new attack vector on GPT itself, which is AI package hallucination. In this case, we came across, like, I think it was 2 weeks ago, it was published all around the media, that a group of hackers basically asked GPT a lot of questions related to coding. And when it provided a lot of false names of software packages, libraries, Python libraries, they created those libraries and then injected a malicious code within them. So anyone else that went to these libraries and downloaded automatically was providing them a backdoor to his infrastructure. This is really sophisticated and simple threat because it doesn't involve with manipulating the database of ChatGPT. It's just using and exploiting the hallucinations, the incorrectnesses, so they can spread their own malware. So basically, this impact is across all program languages. While Python and Node.js are particularly vulnerable due to their open package ecosystems, languages like Go and Net are inherently they have inherent protection to their structure, such as lack of centralized repository or the use of reversed prefixes, which prevent easy exploitation. So first, there are more vulnerable languages than others. This is something that we need to acknowledge. And mitigation strategies, the first one is awareness. Because it's like every new technology involvement, at the beginning we have 100% trust in it. And afterwards we understand there are scams. In the beginning we buy from Facebook ads and then we get burned and then we pay double attention when we see a new product there. So the same kind of process is where I'm expecting to see on AI. When developers will use ChatGPT to write code, they need to be very cautious with the name of the libraries and Google it and double check it before using it and putting it into production. This is something that will probably solve most of it and most of this risk, basically. Another broader implications will be vendor solutions. So now we are in the stage that we are seeing the threats, but we don't see yet the solutions. Companies, vendors out there like Redbird that are constantly developing upon these threats, their products, their existing products. And this is something that is really, really important to see that the defense are coming on its way and we need to be alert and to adapt new strategies, new way of thinking, basically being aware of that. Which takes me to my main message. The hackers are constantly checking your website. It doesn't matter what industry you are, they are constantly doing testing all the time. In order to be on top of them, you need to look over them. This is why threat intelligence specifically is super, super important. This is the only type of intelligence that will guide you, your production roadmap, into the right direction where the hackers at. So following over the Redware resources, we have many resources on threat intelligence, including our blog, which is constantly updated with the latest trends, is the most crucial thing to bypass this kind of risk and mitigate those threats on your organization.
I think we'll end on that positive note. Thank you so much, Arik, for joining us today. I really appreciate you speaking with us and sharing your insights today. Also, thank you to everyone listening. We hope you took a lot away from today's podcast. For further information on what we talked about, please head over to radware.com. And we'll be back next week with another episode in our podcast series. Until then, make sure you subscribe to this podcast on all major platforms and follow the conversation on our social media channels at EM360Tech on X and LinkedIn. And for more great daily content, head over to EM360Tech.com. Thank you.